Okay. We have a quorum, and the date is Thursday, May 8, 2025. And I'd like to bring the Environmental Services Advisory Committee meeting to order. Starting with roll call. Item one, Fred Ariza,
Here.
Margo Garcia,
Here.
Doug Jennings,
Here.
Trevor Ledbetter,
Here.
Hallie Hughes,
Here.
Susanna Shippers,
Here.
and Ryan Thomas.
Here.
Okay.
Oh, this is Ryan.
All right. So we can move on to item two for chairperson's report. And I just wanted to remind you that you have another chance to look at the latest version of Plan Tucson. We're in the phase three. I mean, if there's something that really bothers you, this is pretty much your last chance to make your opinion known. It goes before, well, it's past the Planning Commission. They approve 7-0, and it goes to Mayor and Council May 20th. And then, of course, the voter decision in November. So you do finally, that page that Brittany sent you do finally get a chance to read what they consider to be the final version. Okay. Next, bringing up the fact that there's going to be some holiday months for Environmental Services Advisory Committee. Their holiday month will be in June. And for the Waste Diversions, Collections, and Education subcommittee, their month off is going to be in July. So those will be the two, hopefully, meetings that we don't miss all year. All right. Moving to item three for the director's report, and we're going to talk about fiscal year 2026 budget.
So the city manager presented his recommended budget back in April 22, which he basically, the budget that he recommended for environmental services is about $73.9 million. That's really just coming out of the environmental service fund. In addition to that, there's also recommended to fund the graffiti program to the tune of about $819,000. That is coming in general fund. So the total combined recommended budget is $74.7 million. Within that budget, there are 243 assigned positions that are assigned to the department. As of today, there's 202 positions filled. So we have about 41 vacant positions. Just to give you an idea what the makeup of those positions are, we have about 8 vacant environmental service workers. So I'm just talking about frontline workers, 13 solid waste equipment operators, and 3 environmental operator specialists. Those are folks that work at the landfill operating the heavy equipment out there. So just within those 3 classifications, we're talking about 24 positions that are vacant. That makes up more than 60% of our vacant positions. So I mentioned before, is there's 3 struggles that we have pretty much within the department that continue to be really an issue for us. One, it's really personnel, obviously trying to onboard folks, trying to recruit and retain folks. The other one is essentially looking at equipment in terms of not only purchasing new equipment, but also getting vehicles repaired and being ready to be out for service. And then third is really just still the challenge in terms of customer service. Still, folks, when they have issues with their trash not being picked up, containers being needed to be replaced, really where they need to place a call, go to the customer service portal, really still and get the help that they need there, which may be a little bit longer than we would hope to have. So those are the 3 main things. It obviously wraps up a lot of other issues with that, but those are the 3 main components that essentially that are pinch points for essentially the department. So if we dissect really the fiscal year 26 is really what were the projected revenues versus the expenditures. So originally at the beginning of the budget, we were estimating around $73.5 million worth of revenue. After making some adjustments, we looked at potential revenues around $75.6 million. But the budget that is presented was recommended did not reflect the additional revenue that may be collected. So just keep in mind that when you look at revenue and expenditures, there is no true match today. We project that we're gonna be seeing more revenue coming in there, but essentially there was no expenditure related to that. So we're considering that as additional fund that as historically have used really to set about $1 million for landfill closure and about $1 million for capital improvements. So that's also is going to help us really just kind of get us in the right direction moving forward. We don't project that this year, and this is how the budget is laid out, really tap it into fund balance. And even though it's a little bit of a challenge on that end, because we still have to, there's two things that are essentially are pending that we believe that we're going to need some of that to access some of that fund balance. One is obviously our capital improvements program. As you know, we do on a pay-as-we-go basis. The department has essentially no debt. As you recall, essentially the debt that the department has is about $1.2 million a year. And that debt is scheduled to be retired in fiscal year 28. So we still have about $4 million worth of a debt. But again, we're hoping that we can retire that. As you know, all the equipment and all the capital projects are funded on a pay-as-we-go basis. So those are paid through the user fees. As you recall, there's several projects that the department has done without really getting into debt. One of them is still the reclamation of the Congress in the Nearma landfill. That's about $9 million that essentially that the department spent that we really have not seen any refund or retribution back to the fund. And that's something that was a spirit of intent when the council made that decision almost 9 years ago. The other project that was, again, self-funded is Cell 4A and 4B. So that was a total investment of about $11 million, for Cell 3A, and about $8 million for Cell 4B. So when you total all those investments over the past 8 years, again, on a pay-as-you-go basis, the fund has really absorbed a hit in capital improvements to the tune of about $20 million. So when you look at that, it's significant. It's a significant gain because essentially our fund has continued to essentially to increase, not fully be depleted, continue to be adequately managed. Still, the position is very strong. So when you look at the department's cash position right now, it's about $65 to $66 million, somewhere around there. But also we got to keep in mind that about $30 million of that is still considered to be a restricted funding, and that is landfill closure and post-closure, the groundwater protection fund. There is also the fuel reserve that is in there, but at the end of the day, it's still, it's gives a very strong position. So even when we took all the assets and comparing to the liabilities, the net position, what they call the fund net position, is still very in the black or in the positive to the tune of about $55 million. So again, I believe is strong, but at the same time though, we are still need to continue that part of that fund. We're gonna have to fund some of those capital improvements. And for fiscal year 26, we're projecting we're gonna spend roughly about $9 million. And then the other component of that is we still have a lot of equipment that is still, it hasn't not been delivered. It's, we issued a purchase order. We're waiting for those pieces of equipment to be delivered. It's over 20 pieces of equipment, and that equates to about anywhere between $12 to $13 million. So that's something that when we look at, again, what the budget that has been adopted at $73 million, we're saying we're going to do capital improvements. We're going to do, we still have to be responsible to pay for those vehicles. And the cap of what we've been ask really to maintain it is the $73 million, but we know that we can absorb the $9 million on the capital. We may be able to absorb about $6 million in capital purchases or vehicle, but the gap is still going to be about $6 to $7 million that most likely we're going to have to be over budget, and we're going to have to access that fund to be able to pay for that. So that's where we at overall. The major projects that were in the process of executing in terms of the CIP plan is, you all know that essentially we vacated the continuing maintenance facility back in March. We're in the process of dusting off the plans that we had to build a continuing maintenance facility, Los Reales. That is ongoing. We haven't started the construction with that. We're barely on the pre-development stage of dusting off the plans, getting a revised estimate, make sure that we still need to build what we thought we wanted to build a few years ago. And so that's one of the projects. The other project is still, as you know, the Bifusion building. It's certainly it's under construction. That is scheduled to be constructed by the end of the year, and that's something that we're going to continue to fund this year. The other one we set money aside is really for doing some improvements to the landfill collection system. We set aside about $1 million for that, not only in terms of compliance improvements, but also really what those improvements are intended really to help us achieve the production of gas if we're going to execute a long-term landfill gas to energy project. The other projects are we consider just really what you call sustainability projects, and that's included really the landscape and buffer around the landfill. The other one is really we're running out of room at Los Reales really for our staff. We have outgrown the facility, so we need to expand restrooms, locker facilities. And so we're looking at beginning to make additions to that facility so that way we can accommodate the additional staffing. So those are the major projects. So we look at the operating budget itself. I don't know, Brittany, if you can share your screen. And the way there's two ways of how Maggie prepared the financials. One is really just to provide you with a report, the monthly report, but also really to provide you with an overview in terms of really how the budgets were essentially how they were set up. So that one, it really just talks about or looks at it, the historical view of really where, hopefully you can see it, is really what the actuals were from not only revenue and expenditure, so revenue up on top, and then the expenditures at the bottom. So you look at actuals of 22, 23, what the budget was adopted in fiscal year 25. And then to the far right column, this is really where the tentative budget that I discussed earlier in terms of or really what that amount is. So in terms of projected revenues and projected expenditures. So the expenditures are by category, not by program. And if you scroll towards the bottom, a little bit better, we can see what, so if you look at actual revenue versus actual expenditures, as you can see, we're in fiscal year 23, we were at the bottom. We access our fund balance to make up for that $5.3 million difference. And in 24, we didn't spend that much money, as you can see, on capital projects. And so over the years, we've been able to accumulate more money that we have spent, which has helped us increase our fund balance. But if you look at in terms of where we're at in fiscal year 25, we look pretty good in terms of really having a surplus, but yet we really have not really spend that much money on our capital projects. It doesn't mean we don't need them. It's really just a fact that we're just going to project to move them and get them done essentially the next year. So, but then at the bottom, and I discussed earlier that essentially the projected surplus, and again, it's not really a surplus because we certainly want to use those funds for landfill closure and post-closure, and also the $1 million to continue to improve our fund balance position. So as you can see in the column of fiscal, it's fiscal year 25 forecast quarter three, there is a big line item in there. It's towards kind of in the middle of that column, which is called capital outlay. And we're basically, that's where we are accounting those 20 some vehicles that would be coming in. But again, we're not really for sure if they're going to be hitting in at the end of fiscal year, or they're going to be part of fiscal year 26. So even though we got $6 million in fiscal year 26, it's not enough, not only to cover the encumbrances that make up the $13 million, but also the new equipment necessary that will be required in fiscal year 26. If we want to, I don't know if there's any questions on that so far.
Anyone?
I guess sort of back at the beginning a little bit more. Let's see, I'm trying to remember what the question was exactly. You talked about how you had adjusted, or I guess looked more carefully at the revenue, and you had found some additional revenue sources that you hadn't projected originally. Can you tell us a little bit more about them?
So Ms. Margaret, as I recall, I don't think there were new revenue sources. It was really just an error on our projections. It really was just number of accounts and some of those how we calculated in terms of half of the year, the entire year. So that's what it really came about. It's just a miscalculation on the projected revenue.
Okay, yeah, I could see that. And after all, you're projecting number of accounts, and especially I was thinking of all the individuals coming in through the landfill, you know, bringing their trailers, et cetera, that's can be hard to project. So, yeah, okay.
Okay. Next slide, which would be the one broken down by fund. And that just really provides an outline in terms of really where the expenditures hit and under what program. So if you look at the difference between fiscal year 25 and 26, they don't vary that much. I think that the difference is probably to the tune of about $1.5 million in difference. Most of it is in really on some of the salaries and some of the administrative service fee being charged to the department. Everything else is somewhat the same, somewhere in the same ballpark, not significantly changing totally. You will see that some of them, like you will look at the engineering compliance, that essentially dropped because, as you know, some of those functions were shifted from environmental services to general services. Mm-hmm. But those are just not that many of those in that realm. So that just gives you an idea in terms of really where the expenditure are based on the program.
let's see, the one I saw that looked almost doubled was plastic waste diversion and reuse. Is that money going to Bifusion, or the $250,000 goes up to $400,000? Well, I'm looking at, actually, it's the actuals are at $66,000, so it's an even bigger jump.
On that, it was just added more capacity in there just in case if we needed to transport the material. It's still, if the facility wasn't really up and running yet, and if we need to pay for the transportation costs, because we really have not, I would say, executed a formal agreement with Have to Renew. And that's something that we just wanted to make sure that we had some buffer in there in case that we need to pay for some of that transportation cost. In reality, that should really be minimal. We would still continue to pay for the processing, the baling of the material. We still would be paying for the storage of the material. But we just added a little bit of buffer just in case we need to pay for some of the transportation costs. We're hoping that that's not the case, and it would be back down to what we were experiencing in terms of this fiscal year. So if you noted the difference between 24 and 25 projected is part of that is really the fact that we're not transporting, since we adopted the Have to Renew bag and we're dissecting, we're separating that material, we're not bailing non recyclable plastic that does not meet the parameters that they have to reduce. So that has reduced the tipping fee at Friedman, but it also has reduced the amount of storage that we were paying before.
Okay.
So that's where we at. So where we at overall, that's my presentation on the budget. So we did make some additional requests for what we call supplemental request. I kind of touched on that before a little bit earlier, and that really was really for the equipment, make sure that we had capacity to fund the equipment that has been on order for quite some time. And also our capital improvements. And again, it was really capped at the $73 million. That I think I'm not saying it's going to be totally challenging really to manage the budget next year, but we're going to have to get creative really to manage the amount of capital improvements that we do, and then really see how the vehicles come in and make some adjustments in there. I really don't want to be a position that looks from a budget perspective that we're in the red. We may be, but we're not going to be in the red because there's no money. It's just how essentially the budget was presented and how it was approved and how it was recommended. But we still have the commitment on, we have the commitment on some of those projects that some of them are underway, like the bifusion. Some of them we may have some leniency in postponing them to the following year. But I think for us, it's more critical to make sure that we have enough capacity as vehicles come in to be able to pay for those vehicles and incorporate them into the fleet. So from a strategy perspective, is some projects are on the way, we got to complete them. Some projects we may be able to delay a little bit, but the intent is really if vehicles start coming in and showing up on time, we're going to start paying for those. So the strategy is let's make sure that we pay for those vehicles. We may delay the capital, because I think it's more urgent to have vehicles on board, and I think we can delay some of the capital improvements. But it's going to be a balancing act for next year, knowing that the cap is $73.6 million. The other one we made, yes, Ms. Margo?
Go ahead, finish.
The other request that we made was for graffiti abatement. We asked really for that to be augmented another $300,000. That essentially was granted, but only to the tune of $100,000. We also made a request really to add 8 more positions to the department. And that was really just to add more personnel and equipment operators to the landfill. So it was really we're not only to add more personnel to the working phase, but we have a lot of programs within the landfill that need to be staffed. So, you know, we have a recycling drop-off center. We know we have a metals recycling area. We have the glass. We have the Hefty Renew. We have a bifusion. We have the HSW facility and all the other maintenance needs throughout the campus, and the composting operation, the diverting of the green waste. So it really takes some staff really to be able to do that. And that was really the intent, is to add more personnel to have it to better manage those programs. And so that was a total of 3 operators. We did also request that another what we call arborist crew, which is comprised of essentially one trade specialist and 2 environmental service workers. And that is really to do all the vegetation removal and maintenance on the alleyways. And that's really trying to internalize that work. We have one full-time crew. We actually have 2 crews, but we have one person on extended medical leave that we really don't have the second full crew up and running. So the intent was really to make up 3 crews so that we can essentially keep up with the maintenance of all those alleyways. And then lastly, we did ask for 2 environmental service workers to help us with what we call special collections. So that is really adding more personnel so that we can keep up with the various services that are needed to service the food cycle at home bins and some of the other bins as well. So that was really the intent. Those positions were not funded or were not approved as part of this budget.
Go ahead.
Carlos, I listen to all the programs that you all try to manage in that. I mean, is this, do we have any idea how many programs you guys manage? Is there a list? Or is that I mean, and to define what a program is and who manages it, it seems like that's something to get your arms around.
So Doug, you're correct. So essentially, we've been able to manage those, but in terms of really identifying, really, and that's what we're trying to do as part of this year is really designate and identify the folks that are really needed really to support those programs. So I think ultimately it's a testament of the good work that folks do out in the field. They make it work, they find it, but we're not really adequately covering all the service requests the way we need to. So it's really an identifying not only the program, the personnel needed, and the equipment that is needed really to sustain that. Because I think we're able to help each other out and make ends meet. But
Yeah, there's
sometimes we get
some
into the bind that either
crossover.
equipment is down, personnel is down, and we get behind. And so that's something that
I mean, just at a glance, looking over my thumb, I mean, there's got to be two dozen programs that you guys manage or better, right?
Yes.
Do you think that we could just have a list sent to us? Because I was writing as fast as I could. And I don't know if I got all of them.
And
Okay.
yes, we can provide you that. Yes.
Okay, thanks.
And
Thank you. That
what
was
I wanted
good.
to ask about was the brownfields. I know that that's usually money coming out of the federal government. I noticed $0 there. Is that because there's not going to be any federal funds, or because we don't have any problems right now?
So that program was shifted to general services.
Ah,
So that's no
okay.
longer within Environmental Services.
Oh
Okay.
boy. So did you lose some ES people or?
So we lost some folks, and well, we didn't truly lose them because we essentially, yeah, we shifted the resource from Environmental Services to General Services, and we essentially got a position back, not a real person. But what they call a position control number, which says, yeah, you're giving a position away and you're getting a number back, but not a physical person.
Okay.
So in terms of deleting the roster, the personal roster, we didn't lose a position. We basically stayed status quo. But in reality, yeah, when we lose essentially a person, it has an impact because that person was really very helpful in helping us maneuver through some of the environmental compliance issues related to the landfill. So at the end of the day, one can argue, no, you didn't lose a position, and I can argue the other way. Yes, I did lose a person because I no longer have a body. I have a number or I have a placeholder, but I don't have a person helping us out in that with that program.
Okay.
Do you have the ability to converse with that person at all, or?
I'm sorry, to convert the person?
Well, converse, if you have a
Talk to me.
question, you could talk to them about it, or
No, you're definitely, yeah, we do that, and as a matter of fact, it's really, it's we're providing more help to general services than general services providing to us. And even with the staffing levels that we got, and I think and the help primary help has been is one of our environmental scientists, project manager, is helping general services really come up with a new way of testing for PFAS in soils. So that's an example that we may have a resources internally, and we're basically sharing that resource with general services really to get them some help on that. And then also Frank at the landfill, knowing his background and his expertise, he's also really helping them out, guiding them where they need to be at.
Okay.
I remember one of the issues before General Services combined with you had to do with maintenance of the trucks and all the equipment and how it happened and the charges and so forth. Has all that work been worked out? I mean, I don't really see that here anyway, maybe not as a program. Maybe that's in one of the earlier slides, but oh, I see operations and maintenance is there.
that doesn't really cover that, because I think what we ended up doing there is all those services got bundled into what the administrative service fee that the general fund charges us. So before we used to see it more of on a granular basis on invoice or per vehicle, we're not really seeing that per se. And that's something that we need to get ourselves better equipped to be able to dissect those invoices as they get rolled into the to that charge that gets adjusted not every year, but every other year. And so so one of the asks that we have had is we cannot rely on 2 years on a data that is 2 years old. We need to look at what the equipment charges are, what equipments do we need to still keep, and what equipment is costing more to operate. So those are discussions that we're having. So if you go back a few years, was we collapsed the internal service fund that we were charging not only the general fund departments, but we're charging the enterprise accounts for actual services. Then first phase was let's eliminate the internal service fund that we were charging the general fund. And then the second phase was, well, let's eliminate the charges to the enterprise funds and thus create one single charge to the departments that is adjusted every 2 years. And so the challenge with that is it sounds very simple from an accounting perspective, but from an operating perspective, we need to have more of a handle and understanding of what the cost of the repair of a vehicle and to be able to look and say, you know what, does it really make sense to continue to keep this unit, knowing that this unit is probably costing us more really to operate. So that's what we're trying to get more information so we can be better equipped and working with fleet to be able to make those fleet decisions and not just solely rely on fleet to make the decision on that.
Carlos, what was the justification for taking general services away from environmental services? They just wanted them to stand alone, or?
The main issue was that the department was too large, too big. It really expanded a lot of multiple, I would say, functions that it diluted the effect of really managing the programs or the departments and giving the attention to adequately to each individual department. And so when you looked at it was very diverse. You had fleet, facilities, you had code enforcement, you had environmental services, that essentially there was no intensive focus in one department, and it was really a diluted effect. So by virtue of splitting them, then you essentially have more of a focused approach by each functional area, and giving them the attention that's needed. So on one end, it's really the service delivery, the rates, the cost of service, and really just focus on collections and landfill operations. On the fleet side of things is, given the fact that that the city is forecasting that we're going to be in some financial trouble, financial deficits in the coming years, it's really how do we take a deep dive on the operations and really cut back on some of those operating costs that essentially that the general fund has seen for multiple years, and really put folks in there, be able to manage those general fund expenditures rather than relying on the frontline departments to say, well, I need an office here, I need an office there, and really continue and not having no control of those expenditures, and now putting somebody more focused on that and really managing those expenses. So it had multiple, it's not just one single thing, it was really just a very multiple things that they wanted to look at and get addressed.
Okay. Any other questions for Carlos? I do want to mention that it's right now with code enforcement and PDSD, there's no communication. Nobody has the slightest idea what's going on in code enforcement. So anyways, it's kind of frustrating. And we're not seeing any improvement. So I don't know. So I mean, can I contact whoever it is, the lady who's in charge with code enforcement, or is that a just as a person living in Tucson?
Of course you can.
Okay. All right.
You can, just like you can talk to Carlos. You can talk to, I think it's Corin Manning is the interim.
No, it's not Corin.
It's not.
It's another lady. No, it's somebody I don't know. So Corin's not in charge of the code enforcement. She's above that, but anyhow, okay, thanks. I'll write or send and stuff. So we're good? Anyone? My head is spinning a little bit, Carlos.
I'm sorry about that. Yes. Mine has been spinning too. Yes. And I don't know how to make it much simpler than that.
You ought to see my notes. They're just like all over the place. But anyhow, thanks. That was a lot of good information. And so next is the supplemental request.
I covered that. And supplemental request is any time that we go beyond the base budget. In a request, okay. And so that was essentially the equipment, the capital,
okay,
the additional position. So that's what's considered to be the supplemental request.
Okay,
that we're not approved.
Base equipment. Okay. All right. So you handle. I mean, we're done with the financial monthly report, or are we getting another one from Maggie? Okay. All right. So I'm going to have to write notes on those sheets again. Thanks, Carlos. That was great.
Thank you.
Sure. Hi, Maggie. Oh, we can't hear you. Can't hear you.
I think you're distant from your speaker, or maybe your headphones. We can see hear you in the background, but not fully hear you. A lot of times has to do with the settings. When you, I don't know if you're working on your browser or maybe your Zoom application. A lot of times it has to do with that. It's not the same as Teams.
She dropped off. Maybe I think she's reconnecting.
And I do have my granddaughter waking up from a nap, so I'll be hitting my.
Do we want to jump ahead while she does go through that and do number five, the report from the subcommittee while she's reconnecting?
I'm happy to give the report. Chris, you're muted.
Oh, okay. So you can go ahead with the WDCE report. Okay.
Okay. I will be quick, and hopefully Maggie is able to connect her audio. So subcommittee, we met yesterday afternoon on landfill and compliance, landfill gas collection update. We've installed 3 new extraction wells in cell 4A to meet compliance. needs because that has been filling up. We did have an issue where one of the wells is showing elevated temperatures, which are above our current permit. So some of the landfill gas that we're extracting, temps are up around 175 degrees, and we're permitted for 131. More likely than not, that is coming from biosolids or something else. But there's no oxygen, so we don't have like an active fire or anything. We just have some accelerated decomposition happening. The gas capture project for capturing and cleaning up gas for injection into pipelines is moving forward. We're still working on an agreement, and that is still confidential, so not a whole lot of additional updates there. The bifusion building is continuing to move forward. We've had some minor issues with electrical connections and other things, but we're moving forward. The metal building that will make up the majority of the construction is expected to arrive in August, and we're expecting to finish construction this fall with operation early next year. On glass, we received some feedback that the glass that we're sending up to Phoenix via SMI is high quality, and they kind of prefer whole bottles over the residual glass that they're getting from single stream. And we currently have no glass on site, and we'll be letting SMI know when we have more for pickup. So we've sort of eaten through our stockpile, and that is moving along. On green waste diversion, we are bringing in a grinder end of this week or next week to grind some of the landscaping material that we have on site. And currently we're using everything, or putting everything that we're grinding, towards the compost program, not putting anything on the slopes. And Frank let us know that in fiscal year 2023, we diverted about 1,000 tons of organic waste. In fiscal year 24, we were up to 2,000 tons. And by the end of this fiscal year, we're looking at around 4,000 tons. So we're sort of doubling the amount of diversion every year or so. With collections, as a reminder, our electric truck, the transmission completely stopped working, even though it is brand new. So fortunately, it's still under warranty, and that has been fixed and was supposed to be picked up yesterday. So in an ideal world, may have been back in operation by today. The builder, Battle Motors, is trying to figure out why the transmission failed so early on, but thankfully for us, no cost. And then we had a conversation around brush and bulky by appointment. The number of appointments has been going up dramatically, and probably to be expected in those areas 19 and 25. As folks are putting waste out for pickup by appointment, we're seeing a lot of sort of monkey see, monkey do, where neighbors are also putting their waste out when they see their neighbors doing it. And Environmental Services is picking that waste up, but letting those households know that haven't made an appointment that they've used one of their two appointments for the year. But so far, things seem to be working well, and there's not a whole lot of additional illegal dumping happening. the scheduling for routes, or rather rescheduling for routes, and trying to balance out the number of routes that are happening and the length of those routes is continuing. In waste diversion, we got a notice from the MRF that they've been doing some pricing on the plastics incorrectly, so they will be correcting that on our April bill and providing some clarifications about how they're pricing out those plastics. And then we were supposed to do an audit yesterday, but the equipment was down, and so more likely than not, we will be using the figures that came out of our last audit, where contamination was really low, and we'll wait to do our next audit, I think, in July. And then public outreach, Christine and her team were very active throughout the month of April. The zero waste collection event on April 5th had 422 cars. Shredding and e-waste were some of the most popular, but we also had some new folks there, including Treasures for Teachers. That was their first time coming out, and Christina said that their van was filled to the brim. They got a lot of craft and school supplies, which was great for them. We also restarted the Master Recycler class at the beginning of April. We started with 9 folks, finished with 7. And Environmental Services has asked Environmental Education Exchange, who sort of together the curriculum for the Master Recycling class, to sort of condense that down to an 1.5-hour course for community members to take free of charge or for community groups. And that is on May 21st, and those will be available as a program for anyone who wants to sign up, and there will be 2 more classes in June. And then just a lot of other little events that they were doing throughout March and April. And then we had a fairly lengthy discussion about the Ward 6 recycling area that will be closing, I think, by July. And they will, the city of Tucson will be opening up a new area and having a number of conversations with the public to get input on how that should be set up, access, what that looks like, all of that fun stuff. And that was the meeting.
I just wanted to add, because I think it's incredible that the plastic now, the the ones that is going to Las Vegas for this additional for the treatment and sorting is now up to $734 a ton, which is, you know, we thought we were, was exciting when we got to 300 and something, and now it's 700. So this is why there needs to be some more transparency, but I mean, that is astonishing.
That's like a double from last month.
Yeah, something to break.
So make sure all your friends are putting their bottles in the to the MRF so we can get that.
Isn't that part of the pricing that the Republic had to correct?
I'm sorry. Yeah. I mean, the month before it was $386 and then it went up to $734.
Okay, but are we sure that's what it should be if they're going to look at
that?
Oh, okay, that's it. Cool.
We don't know what it's supposed to be. That's at least what they put in for the report this month, or for the last month, March. That was March.
Well, that's, you know, that's something to encourage people with the Hefty program, too. They should know that it's all good. Any questions for Trevor? I just wanted to just bug him and say that he is now going to be experiencing student move out.
Yes.
And he's trying like heck to get those college kids to recycle right. Right, Trevor?
We're trying. It's like beating your head against a wall.
So we'll find out about that later on. We'll give you some time to let us know.
Sounds good.
Sounds kind of. Okay, Maggie, are you okay?
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay. Yes.
Yay. I think Carlos did most of my work tonight. So I owe him a Starbucks for sure. Let me share my screen. Oh, Brittany, can you enable my sharing again, please?
Oh, yes.
Thank you.
All right, go ahead.
Okay, so here we go. All right. I think that's as big as I can make it. So Carlos really covered our budget for this year and our tentative budget. And this is the version of the report that I provided to you for this month, where we added the tentative budget. And if there are updates to the budget, if there are updates to the budget as we get towards adoption, I will make those adjustments so that you can see this for the remainder of the fiscal year. What I wanted to point out is that so far this year, this is expenditures. We had spent just a little north of $50 million by May 1st. And one thing to remember is when we get towards the end of the fiscal year, which we continue to process invoices into July for June, we end up processing way more than a month's, sort of a smooth month's worth of invoices in that last kind of 5 to 6 week period. So I do think this is a good forecast for us. We'll see how we do once we get to next month. But of course, I get more and more accurate as we get to the end of the year. So we are going to see this number jump up.
Good.
And then again, the forecast, we've collected $63 million so far. One thing we're waiting on is once we get all of our invoices for the Bifusion building that are reflective of all the activity through June 30th, which I expect to be more than $1 million, hopefully based on what the architecture and engineering team has said, we'll be able to process the transfer from the general fund. Just as a reminder, we were getting $1 million in general fund support for that building. So we'll be able to transfer that general fund money in and to help offset some of the expenditures for the capital projects. Right now, the capital projects are very low, but I suspect that for many of, we'll see this bump up once we get towards fiscal year end and we ask those contractors for our invoices for the capital projects reflective of activity that happens on or before June 30th, so we can make sure we book that to the right fiscal year. And then, of course, avail ourselves to the $1 million for the Bifusion building. So we've collected $63 million so far in revenues, and we've expended the $50 million. And I think that pretty much covers it. I think anything else would be pretty redundant, unless you have any questions for me or...
Maggie, I've got a question to try to help me understand. When we have capital, or you have capital, and it doesn't get spent in that fiscal year, does that go up to capital outlay then? And that dollar amount shows up in that line item? Or how does that work? How do you move the capital forward?
Every year, we have to request the whole year's worth of budget authority all over again. So when we were developing the budget for fiscal year 25, we requested the $7 million for capital outlay, which is our heavy equipment.
Okay.
And we requested the $7.9 million for capital projects. When we get to, as the year goes by, right now we're at $7.4 million for vehicles. Those are our actuals. And we're at $740,000 for capital projects. And we think we're probably not going to spend all of this. So we can use savings from the $7.9 million to help offset some of the overages that are in terms of budget authority. We can, as we spend more for vehicles than we thought we might spend, then we can use some of those savings for that. Carrying forward to fiscal year 26, we were capped at, and that's what Carlos was talking about. Our budget right. was capped at what they called a base budget, and we couldn't go over that. We have a pretty good idea that $6 million is not going to be sufficient for the capital replacement needs for the fund. So that's something that Carlos was talking about that we'd have to manage. But any
supplemental, and then that's where the supplemental request comes in?
Correct. But the supplemental was not approved. So we will need to work within the budget authority that we have here and utilize and carefully manage the, this is capped, but we have movement between the different areas.
Okay.
And so if we didn't have, if we got to the end of the fiscal year and we hadn't spent the full $71.8 million, say we only spent $70 million, we don't get to carry that 1.8 in budget authority over. It budget authority is just for 1 year, and then we start the clock all over in terms of budget authority on July 1st.
So does that essentially, is that use it or lose it?
Exactly.
I gotcha.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So where does that go?
Well, if we underspend where we thought we were and we collected more revenues, then that goes into our fund balance. We, if we end up in the, you know, in the black at the end of the year, you know, in FY24, we had $6.3 million more revenues collected than expenditures. We get to put that into our fund balance, and that helps us in the, in future out years, with capital costs, unexpected costs. We have a landfill liability that is on the Fund 502 financial statements, those kinds of things. Okay. So that's what it does, is it builds up our fund balance.
Thanks,
but man. It stays for environmental services.
That's right.
Well, nobody else can tap into it. Not mentioning any names, okay?
Environmental Services has its own fund. And all the cash that's collected from the customers and any other environmental services specific, it goes into that fund. And then we spend only from that fund as well.
Very good.
Thank you. I'll relax. I listened to all the mayor and council study sessions. So I'm going, okay, where are they going to get the money? All right. Thanks.
You're welcome. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you. Good evening, everyone.
So we're coming to an end here. Future agenda items. Any thoughts, any of you who really, really have something that you want us to cover? Don't be afraid to ask.
Well, I'm trying to decide whether it belongs in the subcommittee or in the larger committee, but it really is the whole issue of plastics. And I guess I've seen some discussions, some pointing out that the hard to recycle plastics, by pulling those out, has actually helped some of the other plastic collections. Am I wrong about that, Carlos? Or
no? So if you look at the monthly report of the MRF, it's really, if we focus on really putting the right products in the bin, the better we're going to be. So if you look at that, the cost of processing a ton of recyclables is about $13 a ton, as compared to processing a ton of waste at the landfill, which is around $23, $24. So by virtue of really of putting the quality materials that should go into the bin, then the program is getting to be in a much better position than it has ever been in many, many years. So I think what has helped out is obviously what Republic is doing with the plastic and sending it to Vegas. But yeah, to your point, is we may be getting 700, but what is really realistic? What is the index of that material, and what's mm-hmm. really the market value for that? Is it 700? Is it 900? What is it? Just to make sure that we're capturing the right revenue associated with that. So, and if you look at all the other commodities, and this is what I believe I mentioned in the last few meetings, is we're on the other side of the tariffs. Okay. And what I mean by that is, cardboard is getting to be very valuable. Plastic is getting to be very valuable. Metals is going to get very, very valuable. Aluminum is going to be very valuable. So if we're smart about how do we manage the blue bin program, will be very beneficial in terms of not only waste diversion. Then if you look at the metrics, a lot of those materials are getting lighter per container. So maybe the tonnage is essentially maybe no longer the way we measure diversion. It is really the volume and mostly the value of the commodity too. Mm-hmm. So that's something that we got to consider. I think we're in the right track. I think it's in a moment. I think we look at it is that is a Cadillac service, and you've been saying that for the longest time. It's really how do we continue to enforce the use of that bin and really finding the beneficial use out of that, and especially in this market where we can say, you know what, we're looking at recycling and trash disposal. They're almost the same, but yet we're doing something better that we're recovering that material. And so I think it's we just got to put more emphasis, and I think the emphasis is no longer on the volume, the tonnage. It's really on the quality of the product.
Okay.
Where anything? We want to talk about that some more, but
okay,
because it speaks to the whole issue of education and mm-hmm. you know, continuing to encourage people and to get them to do the right thing.
And so part of the discussion is take a look back. Is it folks that maybe you were given a bin, maybe you're not interested in really participating to the program, and maybe you opt out of the program, and maybe and really the folks that really are interested in really participating and really providing a good material, those are the folks that will essentially continue. And if we do that, then the program would be very quality based and very, I would say, in the forefront in terms of really managing a program that is very realistic and very doable, and it's given to everybody. But really the responsibility on that is no longer use it as a secondary trash bin, but really as a way that you are recycling. And a lot of times the word recycling may not be the right word, is the reusing of that material, because a lot of folks think, well, if I put in a plastic bottle, that means I'm getting a plastic bottle out of it. And that's not necessarily the case. You may be getting a different product. And so part of the education is going to be really instituting that and ensuring that the value of that is improving and has improved for the past year or so. And so how do we communicate that, and how do we begin to move in that direction?
Well, we'd like to see you toot your horn, you know, get it out there on the news and mm-hmm. you know, just let everybody know that they're doing well, because you know, you have to give them an attaboy mm-hmm. sometimes. So mm-hmm.
I think the perspective that Carlos just articulated of post tariff recycling, waste diversion, whatever word we want to call for it, would be an interesting, you know, larger discussion that maybe should happen at this level. So anyway, I guess that's what I was trying to articulate. I like the way you said that, Carlos, about I've just been thinking personally that, you know, isn't it wonderful that China turned us down and said no more waste coming to mm-hmm. us, and look what's happened in terms of the new plant in Las Vegas and plants being built in Buckeye and other places, which then mm-hmm. are using the material to do that. If we were still shipping it all to China, that mm-hmm. wouldn't be happening. And
right.
So that's actually economic development, jobs, and all the, you know, mm-hmm. rest of that.
Right.
Okay. Well, so we'll add that to the list. Anyone else? Going, gone. Skipping item 7, call to audience. And so we're doing pretty good. Getting out here a little early. So
Chris,
item 8.
Oh, yes. Before we adjourn, can sure. we just talk about the summer meetings?
Oh, I said something about the holidays.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I missed that.
Yeah, I told them about the June and July.
So no ESAC in June. And
no WDCE in July.
And none in July there. Okay.
So
thanks.
And everything back on in August is running full
force.
Yeah. Okay. All right. We're good. All right. I get it. Adjournment at 5:07. So have a good night, everybody.
Thank you. Guys, take care.
Holly, it looks bye. Like your dog wants to be fed.
Oh, yeah. She loves talking about plastic.
Oh, I.
She's always right here during meetings, and she just wanted to say bye.
Okay.
Good night, everyone.
Bye. Take care. Bye-bye.
Long. Thank you all.
Bye-bye. Good night.
Good night.